The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program are Justin Taze with Raccoon Valley Radio and Seth Boyes with the Dickinson County News. Justin, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Hi, Senator. Thanks for having me. So one of the big things in Washington and a lot of the talks are with the infrastructure bill and that package and how that would get paid for. Now, some recent reports have shown that Iowa is one of the top state in the country for structurally deficient bridges. Now, in relation, it would take about $3.1 billion to repair those bridges. Can you just talk a little bit about this infrastructure package and how that would help Iowa with some of these things like bridges?
Well, any additional money that Iowa gets, and they would get a lot under this, I can't give you the exact amount that they might get, but it would go towards bridges and highways and anything else that's in this bill. You know, that's airports, that's municipal infrastructure, it's waterways, it would be locks and dams, it would be broadband. And I'm pretty much in favor of the spending parts of it. And I have voted to move ahead with the bill. Now we're on the bill. And I'll have several amendments that I'll have to vote on. I will have some ideas that I want to put into the bill that I've filed as amendments. But the big holdup for me to saying, am I going to vote for it, is on the pay-for side and whether or not I think it's really paid for and whether it's real or if it's just gimmicks. So that's where I am at this point. Let's go to Seth.
Sure. Focusing on a different bill there, obviously you've been working, and a lot of the folks there in Washington have been working on the bill addressing livestock prices, which especially is, you know, important to Iowa here. So as far as where it's at now, what are your hopes for the bill becoming law, and kind of what do you see that doing for Iowans in the long run?
Well, there's two major bills in, one by Grassley and one by Fisher of Nebraska, and we may have to work out some differences between our bills to get something going, but I think that in the 20 years that I've been worried about this problem, and it's been a problem more recently since 2015, but I think we have the best chance of getting legislation passed ever, and I've talked to the chairman of the House Agriculture Committee. He's had a hearing on it. I've pushed Senator Stabenow to have a hearing in the Senate Agriculture Committee. We had a hearing in Agriculture Committee maybe a month ago, and then just last week, previously I'd pushed Senator Durbin to have a hearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee, and we had that hearing last week. And it lays out tremendous problems that we have from the fact that the farmers can't market when they want to market. They become residual suppliers. They get an unfair price, and then we've had some of these four companies that dominate the market getting as much as $1,200 profit one week, $800 profit another week, and then the price of beef in the supermarket is still very high. And then these problems all come because we got four companies dominating the market, and we don't have price discovery. In other words, every farmer knowing what the price is for that day available. And that's why people that negotiate their price, as opposed to those who contract their cattle ahead of time, don't have a market. And our legislation has to create an environment where the 60% of the farmers in Iowa that sell their cattle on what we call a negotiated or spot market can market that day and deliver when they want to deliver, as opposed to sometimes having to wait 3 weeks to deliver your cattle. Back to Dustin.
Thank you, Senator. It looks like the CDC has reported that most of Iowa counties are either high or substantial in COVID-19 transmission. Now, as this pandemic kind of continues, what is the federal government looking at in terms of ways to control the pandemic other than just the vaccine? Are there potential more lockdowns or anything like that that is going on with the federal government?
Yeah. Well, number one, we know vaccination works. So if you haven't been vaccinated, get vaccinated. I've been vaccinated. My wife has been vaccinated. I think most of my staff has been investigated. Not vaccinated, I should say. And of the 164 million people that are vaccinated, less than 0.1% have been infected with the virus, and 0.001% have died, according to the data from the CDC. So get vaccinated. And that's a personal choice you have to make. I'm not for the government mandating vaccination. Now, the president is proposing that federal employees be vaccinated. I think as an employer, whether it's private or public, you can do that. But I'm not going to vote for any amendment that would make everybody be vaccinated. So, and the rest of it, I don't think there'll be a shutdown, because we learned from the lockdown we had starting March of 2020, we made a lot of mistakes. We ain't going to make those mistakes again, and the extent to which there is any decisions along that line is going to be made by state governments, not by the federal government. Let's go to Seth.
Going back to the market prices for producers, you mentioned there in your answer that you felt there was the best chance of getting legislation passed ever, and I just wanted to ask why you felt that was.
Well, because of the fact that I've been hearing from cattlemen all over Iowa and the 85 counties that I've had town meetings, and I've heard most of this in most of those counties, just what's wrong with the market today. And then you've got the big profit of the companies that slaughter. You got high consumer prices, and farmers are losing money. So it's an unfair situation. Then from an antitrust standpoint, we should have stopped these companies from merging, so we get down to just four big meat packers in the country, and some of those are foreign owned. It's just an unfair situation for the family farmer, and we need to protect the start of the food chain. Back to Dustin.
So it looks like you have promised a fight to restore year-round E15 sales. Now, for Iowa, Iowa is one of the leaders in renewable fuel. Now, can you just talk a little bit about your desire for there to be that year-round E15 sale and what that could do not only for Iowa's economy, but really the country?
Well, they're going to be able to buy E15 this summer. And we fought 4 years to get that done. And last year, the Trump administration said you can sell E15 year-round, as opposed to every other year, you couldn't sell it during June, July, August, up to September 15th, because presumably it was contaminating the air in the summer and not in the winter or fall. And so we got that done last year. Then Big Oil took it to court, and a court ruled that that was a violation of the EPA law, so we have to come along and pass this legislation to override the court case, and if we get that done, we'll be helping the consumers. They won't be confused when they can burn E15 or not burn E15, and then it'll help the ethanol industry and the 43,000 jobs in Iowa, because consumers will be able to put it in their tank 12 months out of the year instead of about 8.5 months out of the year.
Sure. Sticking in that same vein, do you feel like the Biden administration is neglecting the E15 issue, or what else needs to be done there on that end?
I have no basis at this time to blame the Biden administration for anything on this issue. Now, you might interview me 2 months from now, and I'll have a very negative attitude towards this administration on biofuels and particularly ethanol. But I have to blame the courts for overruling the Trump administration when they put this in place. So that's why we need the legislation. But I think with the Biden administration, they don't deal with big oil. I don't think they want anything to do with big oil. So when we get EPA making some rulings that are favorable on biofuels, I don't think we have to worry about the White House coming along like Obama and like Trump did to upset the apple cart for biofuels. Now, I think Trump was very pro-ethanol, but he always had to balance between that and big oil. We don't have to worry about that from the Biden administration.
I know we kind of talked a little bit about the COVID-19 pandemic and how it's kind of starting to pick back up again with that Delta variant. Now, I know you mentioned a little bit that the lockdowns will be up to kind of that state government. But in terms of big events, I know the Iowa State Fair is on par to take place this year. Now, if transmission was to get incredibly high and we were starting to look at numbers like we did last year when the pandemic first began, and state governments were still going to continue to have these mass gathering events, is there any potential that the federal government would then come in and try to impose some of those same restrictions that we saw last year?
They could only do it on interstate commerce. It's still in effect on airplanes, as an example. There's some places where the federal government has priority, but most of the public health of the people of a state belongs to state government under the 10th Amendment to the Constitution. Seth?
Let's turn a little bit to your feelings on the House Committee on the January 6th attack. Do you have any reactions to what's happening over on the other side of Congress?
No, and I feel that the House can do whatever they want to do. I think it's a pretty much a political exercise, but I'm not going to condemn them for doing it. But when they're doing it because they got to get all the facts out on the table, I think that we've done that in the Senate through a report starting in January, issued in June from the Homeland Security Committee and the Rules Committee of the Senate. They pointed out everything that's wrong, and I think that's it. Plus, we're going to get the testimony that goes before the judges. When 535 people have been arrested, they're going to be prosecuted. There's going to be a lot of information coming out of that. But the one thing that I don't like about Pelosi and the committee she appointed, this is the first time in the history of the House of Representatives that Republicans haven't been able to put whoever they want on a committee on a committee. And that doesn't matter whether it's a select committee like this one is or the standing committees of the House of Representatives. Democrats choose Democrat members, Republicans choose Republican members, and she wouldn't let the Republicans that were put on by the Republican leader, she took two of them off. So there's no Republicans on there now from Republican leadership. There's two Republicans on there, but they were put on there by Pelosi. So it seems to me that they aren't following precedent in the United States Senate, and that's the only fault I'd find with them at this point. Now I forget who I just talked to, so the next guy get in. And this is the last question.
Now, in terms of other potential legislation on the table for the future, you have come out and spoke about the idea for the legalization of marijuana kind of recreationally. Can you just give a little bit of your thoughts on why marijuana shouldn't or should be legalized here in Iowa? I know you have a study bill out as well.
Well, if Iowa wanted to do it, they could do it. They'd be violating federal law. But if the federal law isn't enforced as it isn't in states that have already done it, Iowa can do it. Now, I've come out against recreational marijuana. I've been in support of medical marijuana. I've been in support of what you call industrial marijuana that we call hemp. But I'm not for recreational marijuana until somebody shows me that it's not a gateway to higher level drugs. And I think it is a gateway, but if somebody wants to show me it isn't, I could be for it. And why not to be for it? Because I think it leads to harder drugs, and it's also, particularly among young people, It's not it inhibits the development, particularly if you're a very young teenager, when your brain isn't entirely developed. It has some impact. And we need to have answers to all these questions before we move on to legalization. But I would also have to add, and I've said this publicly, so I'm not saying it for the first time, I think there's such a movement to recreational marijuana, it's going to take a real scientific study to turn it around, you know, similar to what we had with tobacco. Starting in the 1970s or 80s, there was a crusade that tobacco kills you. And now only about 15 to 20% of the people smoke, compared to 70% in the 1960s. So we may be losing this, but maybe sometime people wake up and say that this isn't the right thing to do, but that isn't going to happen today. I thank you all very much for participating.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Dustin and Seth, for participating in today's Public Affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.